The devil thought he could just keep him there, but Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to rob you of your little joy moment. Go ahead and enjoy it for these 3 days. But in 3 days, I'm coming alive. Look, all you men in here, I want you to look straight in the eyes of your lovely wife and say, in 3 days, I'm coming alive. Come on, give it that little eye. I'm coming alive. Especially if you're 40 and above, I'm coming alive. She'll be texting her mom, something's wrong with my husband. We got to get him fixed or something. He's crazy. Coming alive. Anybody getting anything out of this message series of coming alive? All two of you, raise your hand. Go ahead. Good. That's awesome. Coming alive. Man. Anybody like being alive today? Yeah, that's a good thing. I thought about being dead today, but I was like, I got a few more things I like to do. Amen? How many of you guys got something to do today? Just lift up your left hand. Now, on your schedule for today is a nap involved. Just a nap. Come on. All right. Can I get a second that motion? That's good. We got some nappers up in here. My wife, I think she's going to win a napping championship for the state of Florida. We're just in the trials right now. She's working on getting up to the pros. So if any of you want to join Team Nap with Brandy, just look forward to got a couple ladies. There we go. So amen. Well, it's good to be here. It's been a long week. Has it not been for you? Has it not been? So guys, just be in prayer for my home state, Louisiana. And we lived in Denham Springs and Baton Rouge area for 10 years. I started working there, I think it was in 96 or 97, and worked there until 2007 when we moved here. So it's just, I haven't slept much the last week, just seeing all that has gone on and the communities that we lived at and we worked at and Naomi went to school. It's just insane. And now all the flooding is actually spreading southwest, which is where I was raised at. In places I was there, I still drive through there, 40 years, and I've seen stuff that I just could never have imagined. And I got to go to Louisiana. I got to help take care of some people. And I'm just asking, if anybody wants to come, we're leaving Sunday. Next week, right after service, we're going to have a convoy parked out here. We're going to be ready to go spend the week. For those of you, if you have 2 to 3 to 4 days, you'd like to spend 5 days, whatever the case is, follow us, and you're free to head back whenever you're ready. But we can use some help. Amen? Some help. We got people bringing in resources, and we thank God for every bit of that. But there is nothing like Pete and Joe and some elbow grease, all right? Pete and Joe, that means you got to go. You got to go. Go with us. So just be in prayer. We're in contact with a lot of people there, and there's people just flooding in. But just the community that we're at, the parish there, is they have around 134, 140 citizens, 4,000, 134, 140,000 citizens there. And as of 2 days ago, the report was 110,000 or 100,000 people had been flooded out. You guys get a gist of what that means, right? That's well over 90% of the whole entire community. Businesses, restaurants, homes, you name it. It's all been hurt by the flood. So I'm going to talk about that a good bit for the next 6 months because I was in Baton Rouge when Hurricane Katrina hit. And oh my goodness. Once again, if you ever want to see God move, make yourself available. Well, today we are on part three of Come Alive message series. We really covered a good, I guess the last 2 weeks covered some good pointers. We talked about wake up last week, right? Wake up, all of us who are spiritually sleeping. We may be attending church. We may be, described as a Christian person or someone who has morals or spiritual beliefs. But are we truly awake spiritually? Are we really keen to what God's doing around us and in our midst? Are we excited about the things that God is calling us to do? Many of us are like, I know what God's called me to do, but I don't feel like doing it. And all of us have been there, and I'm just suggesting that you get to it. You get passionate about what God has for you because we don't know what the future holds. But today, we're going to talk about resurrection power. We only really talk about the resurrection power once a year, and that's around Easter. And you know what? I feel like we have done the body of Christ a disservice because we talk about the most powerful thing that Christ has offered us, and we only talk about it once a year. Isn't that incredible? We're talking about stuff that we possess now as a son and a daughter of God, a joint heir with Christ, that we possess, and we only talk about it once a year. The resurrection power that Christ has. So today we're going to talk about the purpose of the resurrection power, and we're going to talk about the power that is there. Amen? I'm going to be going through a lot of different scriptures today, so get your Bible, shake out all the little note papers you got in there, all the little ribbons, just get them all out, because go ahead and get your fingers, get them exercising like the Yellow Pages. We're going to be going through some scriptures. Some of y'all young people are like, what is that? What is that? What is Yellow Pages? Look it up, Google it, right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 through 19. I'm reading out of the NIV. I may have some ESV here today. We'll see what happens, okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 17 through 19. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. When I think about the word futile, I'm thinking about, you know, incapable of producing any sort of measurable results. In other words, you may still go on, but it's really invalid. It's really void. It's dead. So, and if Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith is really non-existent. It's not there. You are still in your sins. Verse 18 says, then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. So those who have, you know, walked after God, they've passed away and said, you know what? They live for God for nothing because he never rose from the dead. Then it goes on to verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're all people most to be pitied. So I've had a number of different discussions with people. You know, they say, well, why do you believe in Christ? What if it's not even real? What if it's not even real? And I've measured this out for decades, not so much lately, the last 10 years, but the beginning of my Christianity or Christian walk, I was like, you know, what if all of this is some sort of psychological phenomenon that I'm just living this thing in this belief that there's this higher power and he guides my footsteps. And I can feel him. I can hear him. You guys know those voices we've heard in life, right? And I'm like, you know what? I knew the life that I was born into and that I walked. I knew that life for 18 years. And then I know the life since I was 18 till 41. And it's black and white different. It's polar opposite. I mean, I used to have nightmares, sick, demented nightmares. I had bondage. I had guilt. I had shame. I had everything in me. But yet after I believed in this higher power thing, like my life radically changed. And it doesn't stop changing. So, you know, I say, you know what, if I die, and let's just say all of this Christianity, all of this Jesus Christ, this Holy Ghost, this three-in-one deal is all bogus. Guess what? I have lived with tremendous peace in my life. I have lived seeing people healed in my life. I have seen so many thousands of lives touched. We've seen so many hundreds of people's lives changed and helped. We have an orphanage in Haiti. We have people in Pakistan, India, Zimbabwe, Uganda. You name it, we've touched there. You guys following me? Have you ever thought about that, or is it just me? Is this really real? Is this God really real? And that's what the scripture's saying. You know what? If Christ didn't die, if he wasn't raised from the dead, if he wasn't resurrected, then basically he's just a good guy that died and left some good examples, some moral examples for us to follow. And, you know, if we follow it, that's pretty cool. But if not, no big deal. He's not really that special. But because he resurrected, things change. Paul says later on, he says, you know what? He said, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. Now, this is someone who persecuted the church for many, many years, okay? Had tremendous hatred against Christians or those who are following the way. He met up with the Lord when he was riding a horse and got knocked off. And y'all guys read the story. And he's like, next thing that came out of his mouth is, Lord, what would you have me do? So, you guys ever been to that place before where God will knock you down on the ground? And the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, Lord, what will you have me do? Because you don't want to go up against that type of power, right? You don't want to go up against that type of breath. He breathes life. So that's, okay, God, yes, sir, yes, sir. The answer is yes. What's the question? That's what Paul did. But then he goes on further and he says, I want to know Christ. And I want to know the power of his resurrection. You're talking about somebody that don't just want to know about Jesus, but he wants to know. Look at your neighbor that's sleeping. Just say, he wants to know. He wants to know Christ. He wants to know the power of his resurrection. I was thinking back when I first gave my life to the Lord. It was 1993 in September. And I struggled greatly because I didn't know anything about Christianity. I didn't know anything about a Christian lifestyle. I didn't know anything about many morals. You know, I had conviction or I had a conscience, but nothing like these church people have. You know, they passed up a lot of good things in life, you know, for this faith thing. But you know what? After I was saved a few years, I felt like as if I was a worse person. I felt like I was, and I wouldn't feel, I was doing things that were worse, you know, in regards to sin and the way we measure them. And the church that I was at, you know, I knew that Jesus Christ had saved my soul. He come into my life. He forgave me my sins. But for some reason, I don't know if it's the way it was communicated from the podium, the pulpit, or if it was just the way that I heard it, okay? But what I understood was that even though I'm saved, even though I'm a Christian, even though I believe in Christ, I'm still a bound sinner. I'm still going to hopelessly sin every day. There will be no getting away from it, and I'm just going to get into heaven by the skin of my chinny chin chin. Has anybody ever thought that before, or you've been taught that? And that's how I looked at myself. I'm like, why would I want to go to church and listen to a preacher to tell me the stuff that I already know I'm doing wrong, I already don't like doing, but I'm destined to do it because it's in my blood. I have a sinful nature. I was never taught about the authority that I had in Christ. I was never taught about the supernatural power, the resurrection power that Christ had given to me. And man, I'm telling you, when I begin to learn that, when I begin to read, and it must have been just I dug into God's word and find the truth for myself, I was like, oh no, you mean I don't have to live this way? You mean I don't have to sin? No, it's a choice. Then he tells me, he said, look, you're not going to be tempted any further than I've equipped you to be. He said, I always give you a route out of it. And I was like, so I do not have to sin every day. And the Bible's like, yeah, that's right. That's my plan. You guys ever read that before? So I just begin to notice, wow, God, you've given me power. I can pray and things happen. I can pray and, like, you move, you do stuff. Guess what? I really started getting hungry then. You want to talk about change your life when your handcuffs are removed, right? Bound in sin, but yet gave my life to Christ, and years later finally understood the whole picture of what Christ wanted out of me. So guys, resurrection is something that is very, very central, very, very crucial to Christianity. You know, Christianity is not just a religion based on abstract morals. Let's just put a blanket out there. Let's do everything we can for others and just be positive and love people where they are. Yes, that is all true. But Christianity is a real relationship. It's a real relationship with a real God, a living Savior, a Savior that we can know. And that's what Paul was saying. He said, I want to know Christ. Now, here's the cool thing about Jesus is he infuses us with power. I'm looking at your faces. A lot of you look really confused. Like, okay, I have power? I have power. Yeah, right, damn it. I got you. Just let the scripture speak to you, okay? So God infuses, Jesus infuses in our life, and he empowers us with supernatural abilities. He transforms us into his likeness. How can you be like someone and not be like someone? Right? He formed us in the image of his own son, but yet if we're not walking in the power and the authority that he did, then whose son and daughter are we? Whose likeness are we walking in? You ever thought about that? Y'all quiet already. I'm going to change the sign on the front up there and say Pentecostal. That way somebody can say amen. Somebody can shake a tambourine, clap, lift their hand or something. Amen. We're just having a little fun. But guys, look, you know, Paul's saying, I want to know Christ. But first of all, what does knowing Christ mean? What does knowing Christ mean? I want to ask you a question. How many people know Tim Tebow? Just lift your hand up. You know Tim Tebow? Anybody? Okay, we got a handful of people. What about Adele? Anybody know Adele? Right? Now I'm going to just get something a little fresh. You know, you got, what about Simone Biles? Anybody know her? Yeah, Olympics, right? The vault. So You guys know these people. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Now, I got another question. Is this first-handed knowing them? Or is it you knowing them through magazine articles and news articles and TV? Yeah, but Damon, I saw them on live TV. I read an article, an exclusive interview. You guys see what I'm talking about? Like, we will say, oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. But if we really don't know these folks, then can you see how so many people think they know Jesus, including us, those who are sitting in this building? If we say we know these people, it's really third hand. It's really by someone else's interaction directly with that person. It's really because of someone else's encounter with that individual that we can say we know Tim Tebow, that we can know Adele. But really, we really don't know them. So how do we know Christ? You have to have a one-on-one encounter with him. You have to experience his presence. You have to be with him, just like I would if I had to get to know Tim Tebow. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. And Paul's a little extreme. We don't ever like really try and learn these verses and apply them to our lives, because he says right there, I want to know the resurrection, his resurrection power, and I want to participate in his sufferings. Not in America. Not in a Bible belt. We ain't going to suffer for Jesus. I suffered when that preacher preaches past 12:15. My stomach goes to growling. But guys, listen. What are we suffering? What are we suffering to really know God, to really know Christ? Is this just for you? Is your Sunday activities just for you? Or is it just so that your kids can have a good upbringing? You would not believe the families, the parents that I've talked to in 17, 18 years of ministry. We're going to church because we want to raise our kids right. But the parents don't have enough faith to move a mustard seed. You guys follow me? They don't follow God. They don't live for God. But yet, I want my kids to have a good upbringing. Your kids are going to follow where you walk. By the grace of God, they may escape that trap. And follow Jesus himself, right? That's what I pray for my kids. Lord, don't let my kids follow me, because they're going to get tied in a pretzel knot. Because I'm just... I was once told I'm like a spider. You don't know which way I'm going to go next. I said, man, that hurt my feelings. I'm on a journey. So Paul's saying, I want to know Christ. I want to know his resurrection power. I want to suffer with him. Now, a lot of us could try and decipher. Is this really just meant for Paul? Is this, I want to know Christ, I want to know his resurrection power, is this just for Paul? Or is it for us? Should it be the cry of our heart? Should it be something that we passionately yearn for, just like Paul did? Even in the Old Testament, Jeremiah says this. You know, he said, chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, he says, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise boast about or of their wisdom, or the strong boast in their strength, or the rich boast in their riches. He said, look, don't let them boast in these things. And I think the reason why Jeremiah was writing this as underneath the unction of God is because knowing God is more important. Knowing God is more important than having wisdom, than having strength, than having riches. Knowing God is more important than that. Think about the people that we admire. Maybe not you personally admire, but just look in general across society here. You know, we admire those who are bright, those who are intelligent, those who are knowledgeable. Isn't it great to like just meet someone and you can ask them 7 different questions about 7 different things in 15 different countries, and they know exactly what you're talking about and actually will elaborate on that. I'm like, dude, you're incredible. You're incredible. Because like, you're lucky if I remember your name. I'm doing better. I'm taking vitamin B complex. It really helps me just whoop. Yeah. Y'all try that too, right? Once you get around mid-30s and you got kids and you're like, I can't remember anything to save my life. You start getting online trying to find something. I gotta get this stuff back because it used to be good. And vitamin B complex and drinking all kind of juices. And you're like, Little Debbie hadn't hurt me that bad. Let me get back with her. Hey, if I forget my kid at school, it's okay. They got people that work there, you know. They'll call me. Poor Naomi. I left that girl at school more than I want to brag about. You still love me, huh, babes? She was like 7 years old. I can't wait till I can drive. I drive my own self back home, you know. But we admire all these things about other people, that they have these physical abilities. Some of y'all been watching the Olympics. And I know you guys are like looking in the mirror like, ooh, I'm gonna do this. I will leap over a landscape timber. I will. If I could just, I got to work on it, you know. I got to work on it. But guys, we admire all these people. How about those who just naturally have the looks? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, man, where did you get those jeans from? You know, I got robbed, you know. But we admire all these people because our focus is in the wrong places. We want to know Christ, and we want to know the power of his resurrection. And what God's saying, what matters more than anything else is that we know God and we understand God. That's important, that we know God and we understand God. Look in John chapter 17, verse 3. John 17, verse 3. This is something that Jesus actually said on the night before his death. As he's praying for his followers, this is what he says in John 17, 3. He says, now this is eternal life. But he's not really eternal at the moment. He's there with the guys. He knows he's going to be crucified. But he's teaching them. He's telling them, listen, we've talked about eternal life. People have talked about eternal life for thousands of years. But let me tell you something. This is eternal life. And he says this, this is eternal life, that they know you. He's praying to God. He said, God, this is eternal life, that they know you. Why did he say that as the first thing? To me, it shows high importance. It says, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is what? What is eternal life? Knowing God. Knowing Christ. That's eternal life. Without knowing God, without knowing Christ, there's no life. Like, when people used to tell me, Damon, you just don't have a life. I really didn't. Why? Because I didn't have the will of God, the passion that I had for God, to live for him. I had no life. I was spiritually dead. Yeah, I could cut up. Yeah, I could party. Yeah, we could have a good time. But every time I would stop for 5 minutes, I knew I ain't got a life. This really stinks. I haven't improved. I haven't gotten any better than who I used to be. Let's go to 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter 1:3. So you have John, you know, where he records Jesus saying, this is eternal life, that you know God, the only one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And then you have Peter, who emphasizes the very same point. And I shared this scripture with you last week, okay? It's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Peter says, his divine power, there we're going back to the power, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Some of you, some of me, I've done the same thing. I'd go chasing different churches, different ministers, different worship leaders, because I just wanted more and more. I wanted to be more godly, and, you know, I had to get it from somebody. No, he says, God, he'll give you everything you need. He's already had it set up right here. It says his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Where? Where does it come out of? It says, through our knowledge of him. When you know God, you begin to understand everything that God has given you for the godly life, who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Listen, our knowledge of Christ leads us to being empowered by Christ. Does that make sense? I can't be empowered by Christ if I don't know Christ. So we first have to know Jesus in order to be empowered by Jesus. And I think the reason why I struggled so much as a young Christian, maybe that's some of the reasons why you're struggling in your faith and the way that you walk right now, is because you really don't know. You don't know Christ. You don't know his nature. You may have been preached and taught about his nature, but if it doesn't line up with true scripture, you may be misled. I've been misled numerous times in my Christian walk. But our knowledge of him leads us to being empowered by him. Man, it's great to just be set free and to have that resurrection power in your life. That where you could have all the things trying to tackle you down, trying to cripple you, but something inside of you called the Holy Ghost wakes you up, makes you come alive, and you realize you got resurrection power. I'm coming up. You know, the Bible says that though the righteous may fall how many times? Seven. He says, but you know what? You're going to get back up. You're going to get back up. Guys, don't let life knock you down and you just give up on what God has for you. I always use this example because some people, we've all been there. We face so much opposition. I'm talking about major opposition. Like your life really, really is chaotic. Just imagine if this double doorway right here, the doors are open, you're trying to get through, but there's this film, kind of like saran wrap or this sort of elastic type fabric, okay? And the more that you try to get where you want to go, what do you experience? You experience more resistance, more opposition, right? And when you've pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed to try and go after God, but yet you have faced opposition after opposition and just resistance, what happens? We give up. We give up. There's no other path. Well, there actually is another path. That's the path that leads to death and destruction. But there's only one door. There's only one gate. But you have so much trying to keep you from penetrating that veil, that layer. And I always teach people, I say, you know what? The more that you push through that layer, the more that you push through, you are one breath away from breaking through. One breath, one step, one muscle move, and you actually break through. So just know that when you are up against the wall, the more difficult it gets, just know that you're that much closer to having breakthrough. See, somebody ought to say amen. Because that ministers to me. Because the devil wants me giving up. The devil doesn't want me to understand the resurrection power in my life that Christ has given to each and every one of us. Amen? 1 John 5:20 says, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. Okay, so he's come, he's given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. Why is everyone talking about us knowing Christ? Because we need to know him. We need to really know him. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. So you got the Old Testament, you got the New Testament, you got the Gospels, you got Paul, Peter, John. They all agree that knowing Christ is essential. Knowing Christ. Now, as I said earlier, we may know Christ by what we've read. We may know Christ by what we've seen on TV or heard people talk about. It's a kind of third-handed relationship with Jesus, but do we know him personally? Do you call him? Do you pick up the phone when he calls you? Because a lot of us know how to dial heaven real quick. Lord, could you do this? Help me. Help me. I'm this. I'm that. Help me. And then, okay, thank you, Lord, and you hang up. And then the phone rings right back because he had a lot more he wanted to tell us, right? But we done moved on to what's next. Fight our own battles. Use our own strength, our own abilities, our own resources, rather than just pick up the phone and listen to the commander and giving orders and saying what he already has laid out and the plan that's already been divinely placed before you. But no, we're too busy. We're too busy. Let me just pray one way. You know, anybody got time for that? I can't listen for God. I got stuff to do. So how do we know God? How do we know God? There's three ways that you know God. Okay, you show up here at 9:30 in the morning. We have small group. We have Bible studies, discussions. You will get a chance to know God even more so. You can't know God just by listening to me. You can't. You have to take other opportunities to do so. And Bible study or classes or small groups here on Sunday mornings, that's a place. Not only will you get a chance to know God, but you get a chance to know the people that are sitting next to you. You get a chance to know how God is moving in their life and maybe some of the things they're struggling with or maybe some of the things that they have conquered and they're encouraging you. So what are you missing out? You passing up a McDonald's breakfast sandwich or some Crave cereal. You know, just wake up a little bit earlier. Get that done, right? Read your newspaper, whatever you got to do in the morning, and then come on. get here, get to know God, grow closer. We also have small groups. We're actually cranking up in September, two small groups. Drew's going to be leading. Well, just lift up your hand, Drew. Don't you just love Drew? I love Drew. I love his wife too, Crystal. I love them all, Harley and all. They're going to be starting a small group in September. Listen, hook up, connect with these people. We're going to be meeting every other week. Myself and Brandy, we're going to be opening up our home again. We took the summer off in small group. That's how you get a chance to know God. Even more so, that's how you got a chance to know each other. So here's three ways that you can do that. You can place your faith in him, and the way that you place your faith in him is believing in him. The way that you believe in him is you continue to learn more about him and to trust him and to give him different areas of your life where you can see him moving, okay? That's one way to know that you know Christ. You want to cultivate this relationship with God. The second thing is spending time in prayer. You can pray alone. You can pray with others. You know, you can call someone on the phone and you can pray with them. I mean, prayer can happen any time of the day, anywhere, any condition. But there's something cool about prayer is you also have to listen. Man, I love those times when I just, okay, God, look, I have tried everything I know to do. I'm just going to stop right now, God. I'm not going to move until you tell me. Ooh, he loves that. He loves that. I am not going to move until I hear from you. Why does he love that? Because he knows you value his presence more than his response. To just be in his presence. Being in the presence of God for one day is better than being 1,000 elsewhere, 1,000 days. I could see a lot of great things in 1,000 days, right? Right? Maui, Bora Bora, Fiji, right? You got places we can go, right? But to be in his presence surpasses all. So spend time in prayer. And the third thing is, this is like the bus stop where all the Christians get off. You know what I'm talking about? Like, have you ever gotten on a bus in the middle of a hectic day or hectic place in a city you've never been before? And you're like the airport, the shuttle that goes from one half the airport to the other side. And you're like, am I even on the right shuttle? Am I even on the right bus? You've been there before? And you're like, you're really trying to go to Dallas, Fort Worth, but it's saying Chong Doi Ding Now. And you're like, no. This is what happens to Christians, is the third way to get to know God better, and that's to follow him. You guys thought I was going to come up with something slick, huh? To follow, follow, follow. How many in here really feel like you know me? I love it. It's working, Mike. It's working. Like three people. That dude's crazy. You don't want to know him. But honestly, guys, one of the best ways, maybe not for you, but the best ways to know me is to follow me. Come to my house, wake up in the morning, and follow me through my day. You'll get a chance to know me, right? It's that easy. You spend 3 days with me. I'm being serious, guys. The same thing with you. Maybe I know you, but I don't know you until I follow you. I don't know how you react. I don't know your patterns. I don't know your habits. I don't know your hang-ups. I don't know the great things that you do for God until I follow you. Why is it that so many churchgoers, so many people have confessed Jesus as their Lord? They don't know him. They don't know what his calling is. They don't know what God created them for. Why? Because you're not following Christ. Going to church on Sundays is not fully following Christ. A few of y'all got that. I'm serious. That's not following Christ. When you give your life to serve others, to reach others, and to share the gospel with them, the love of Christ, that is following Christ. When you're going places that nowhere in your right mind you would choose to go, that's following. When you're giving things that you yourself have worked so hard to get for so many years, and you finally, God finally blessed me with it. Thank God, I'm going to protect this thing. But when you follow him, you're going to be asked to let it go. You guys following me? Many times we just want to get out of there. So I want to give us a couple things dealing with the resurrection power. Because, you know, we can try and serve God. We can try and follow Christ. But if we're doing it out of our own logic, our own energy, our own abilities, we will find ourselves sitting on the bench way too often and way too quickly. But when you tap into the resurrection power that Christ has given us, you're like the Energizer Bunny spiritually. What does Energizer do? All the young people that pay attention to these little crazy things, what it does? Say it loud so the people can hear you. Keeps going and going and going and going. Why? Resurrection power. Resurrection power. So yeah, you can walk around beating your spiritual drum if you stay connected to Jesus, if you know Jesus. So the first thing, I'm going to talk about five assets. We're heading down the trail, okay? Five assets that are attributes of being or having or experiencing the resurrection power that Christ offers and has given to us, okay? So the first one is the resurrection power forgives sin. There's no other God, there's no other power that can forgive, wash away, totally release, never remember, never bring it back up to you. There's no other one that can forgive except Jesus Christ. That all lets you just hone in a little bit on that. But the resurrection power forgives sin. Forgives sin. Romans 4:25 says this: He was delivered over to death for our sins. Okay, so because of our sins, he was delivered over to death. Then it goes on and says, and was raised to life. He was resurrected for what? For our justification. Our justification. 1 John 1:9, this is one of Naomi's first scriptures she learned. If we confess our sin, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us. You know how many people love that verse? Because I love sinning. I love doing all these things that just please my flesh. And I know if I just confess my sins, he's going to forgive me. We never memorize the second part of that verse. The second part of that verse says, you know what? And he purifies us. He purifies us from all unrighteousness. Ooh, y'all don't know that was connected. Because if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me so I can do it again. No. There's not even like a comma. It's still the same verse. And he purifies, he rids us of all unrighteousness. That means, you know what? If I'm going to confess my sins to God, he is faithful. He is just. He's going to forgive me. But not only is he going to forgive me, he's going to take that thing that caused me to sin out of me. Now, I know a lot of you do not enjoy sitting down at an orthodontist, an oral surgeon, or a dentist. When we talk about pulling out, right, you think it's a painful thing, right? How many of you guys love being drilled on? Root canals, crowns, not a hand in this place. Don't you just want to be a doctor? I think the most bitter people should be dentists because they could be happy. No, but a lot of us equate the removal of sin in our life and the things. Sin isn't always something that's nasty and that looks like it's a cavity and it hurts, right? Not to all of us. There's some sin that's really enjoyable and pleasant. What about gluttony? Right? Gluttony's nice. How many times you just eat, and you're like, oh, I really hate doing this. This really stinks. That just, why am I eating stuff I don't even like the way it? No, we like to eat. We enjoy it. What I'm getting at is sometimes we equate God removing, purifying of us of all unrighteous, we equate that with being in a dentist chair. So then we don't want God removing those areas of our life, those deep, deep-rooted things. Got like 17 roots, and they're only supposed to have two, right? So let me just pray. Let me just go to church. I don't really want to get all deep into this stuff that Damon's talking about resurrection power. That means that, you know, he's got to pull things out of me. But it's so worth it. It's so worth it. Because guess what? You heal. You heal. Not only are you healed, but now you got where that cavity was, you're filled. You're filled with more of God. Man, that was a good analogy. I'm going to have to write that down. Romans, okay, 1 John 1:9, forgives us of all of our sins, and he purifies us from all unrighteousness. In the scripture, Paul says that his resurrection gave us justification. The act of showing something to be right. So because Jesus resurrected, that was him acting on our behalf to say, you know what? Damon someday is going to be right. You know, right? Alma someday is going to be right. Josh someday is going to be right. What that means is we all have sin, and we're going to sin, and that keeps us away from God. But because Jesus died, which we give a lot of credit to, but we never give as much credit to the resurrection, because he resurrected, that's how he justifies us before his heavenly Father. Don't you love when somebody has your back? I'm talking about has your back. They in the trenches with you. They taking shovels out your hand, kind of got your back. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Every day. Let's move on. The second asset is the resurrection power conquers sin. So the resurrection power is powerful. It forgives sin, but then it also gives us the ability to conquer sin. Conquer sin. Everybody say conquer sin. Romans chapter 6, 1 through 18. You guys turn there. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. I'm not going to read all the way through 18. I'm just going to highlight some of them. So you're just going to have to highlight, write a few lines down or something. Because this chapter, if you just meditate on this for an entire week, you will see your interpretation of what you're supposed to be doing and the strength that you have in Christ, you will see a total transformation. So Romans chapter 6, 1 through 18. I'm starting on 1, okay? It says, what shall we then say? Shall we go on sinning so that by grace may be increased? By no means. We died to sin. We can live in it no longer. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was... This is talking about us. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. It goes on, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. So listen, if you're dying to self, you're saying, Lord, I'm dying. I don't want to be my old self anymore. I want to be baptized. Guess what? He's saying that you're resurrected with him. Verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Verse 8, now if we die with Christ, we believe that what? That we will also live with him, resurrect. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives for God. That's powerful. Then it goes on, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. Who's saying not to let? He's telling you. He's saying you now have the power. You have the resurrection power. Don't let sin reign in your bodies. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to what? To life. And offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. I'm going to jump down to the scripture. I want to get you. I think 17 and 18 is really going to be good. 17, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching in which you were entrusted. Verse 18, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Basically saying you have been freed from the power and the effects of sin. That's pretty powerful. For someone who has addictive disorders or tendencies, when that person is delivered from that repetitive addiction or that action, let me tell you something. They know what it feels like to be set free. They know what it feels like to know that Jesus has set them free. You no longer are a slave to sin. Somebody just say amen. Amen. Come on, if you felt God give you that resurrection power and you conquered that sin in your life, man. Maybe I'll just get excited about the wrong things. Maybe. But guys, if this is the case, do we keep on sinning? Do we keep on sinning? Are we just these weak Christians? No. I think the reason why we don't walk away from some of the sinful things is because we don't know the power that we possess in Christ. God gives us power. He gives us resurrection power to conquer those sins. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Some of us have felt for some time now that I just can't get away. The devil always attacking me. I'm just always giving in. It's just, I'm always tempted by the same things. I know what that feels like. But we keep on missing the point. The very first point, it says, submit yourselves to God. Maybe there's some areas of your life that you're still just holding dearly and you haven't submitted to God. Therefore, the devil ain't going anywhere. Submit yourselves to God first. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. The third asset about the resurrection power is we get to be God's agent. We get to be God's ambassador. Now, I don't know about you. I grew up watching Inspector Gadget. The old, like, cartoon one, where his arm would reach out, like, 6 miles. This dude was awesome. He had these awesome vehicles, things that could fly. I try and make everything out of, like, Legos and straws I would steal from McDonald's, especially little flexi ones, you know, because I wanted to be like Inspector Gadget. Y'all don't think I remember that. Inspector, I always wanted to be like an agent. Aiden, my son, when he was, like, 4 years old, Daddy, I want to be a Fed agent. He's hardcore. But a lot of us, we want to be involved in that higher intel, that secret lifestyle where we get to, you know, go beyond the boundaries of the enemy, right? And rescue people. Jesus is fulfilling my passions because he's, look, you're an ambassador. You're an agent for God. I got hired, guys. Like they put me on the crew. What about you? Are you an agent? Are you an ambassador for Christ? That's one of the assets right there. Jesus gives us the power to be an agent of God. He says, you are the light of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 to 20 says that God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. That's not everybody. Only people who follow him. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. You know what? In this scripture, I want you to hear one thing. I want you to see one thing. Every personal pronoun where it says we or us. You guys got that? Okay, look on the screen. Every time you see we are us, look how many times. He says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of he's committed this message of reconciliation to us. He's committed. Verse 20, we are there for Christ's ambassador. What are you there for? We are there for Christ's ambassadors. We, as though God were making his appeal, his serious, his urgent request through who? Us. I see a lot of strength, power, authority coming from God giving to us and we. He says, we implore you, we beg you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 6, more we's. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Verse 4, the weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to do what? To demolish strongholds. Resurrection power to demolish strongholds. Verse 5, it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge, no God, no Christ, except the knowledge of God, against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. Do y'all believe Jesus is trying to involve you? It's so funny. We can see like 17 we's and us's, and we're like, I'm not really down with that. But when somebody says, we are going to eat at BJ's, everybody's in all of a sudden, right? Right? We are going to the spring, and it's 120 outside. Everybody's with you. We are going to eat ice cream at basket. We, right? How many times people say we? But the scripture says we and us, and we think they're talking about the person behind us, the person next to us, that wee little man Zacchaeus. He's talking about us. Guys, we have the resurrection power in Christ. He gives it to us. The last two, the resurrection power conforms us to his likeness. I touched on that at the beginning of the message. That's the power. He conforms us. He transforms us. He molds us. He makes us into his likeness. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. So all of us who have had the veil removed can now see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more. He does what? He suggests. He assists. He begs. No, the Bible says that he makes us more and more like him. Paul said, I want to know Christ, and I want to know his resurrection power. Amen? Amen. Last point, the resurrection power allows us to overcome the devil, overcome the enemy. Damon, what does that mean? How can I do that? Romans 8:37 says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. So it's really not really based on our productivity or our strength or our abilities. But the fact that we are overcomers, the fact that we are more than conquerors is through him who loves us. So you got to know him. You got to know him. 1 John 5:5 says, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You can overcome the world if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you know him firsthand. 1 John 4:4 says, dear children are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater. Y'all know what greater is, like that arrow that points that way? Greater than he that is in the world? He that is in you, arrow coming down, is greater than, y'all follow me. That's good. Overcome the devil. So guys, the resurrection power enables us to be forgiven of sin. Y'all like that one. I like that one too. The resurrection power gives us the power to overcome sin. I really like that one. Because sin used to just, mess a brother up. Women don't deal with sin, do they? Thank y'all for being honest. Overcome sin. The resurrection power gives us the ability to become God's agent, secret agent, man, right? You get to be, but you don't want to be secret. You want to be loud and proud. Also, he conforms us to be in the likeness. We got to follow Christ. So if you follow Christ, you got to walk like him, right? Run DMC, Aerosmith, y'all remember that? Walk this way. Walk this way. Are we following Christ? Are we going to the places that Jesus... Yeah, we go there. We go eat at places that Jesus would go, right? But do we speak like Jesus would speak? Last thing is overcome Satan and his kingdom. I call that one beat the bully. Beat the bully. I was bullied. I was bullied a lot as a kid. I got teeth knocked out my mouth. I got numerous black eyes. I lived in a rough area. Bullied. Maybe some of you have been bullied. Maybe a spouse, maybe a boyfriend, a girl, maybe a parent, maybe a neighbor, maybe a caregiver. Maybe you've been bullied by your own thoughts. You've been bullied by the enemy. And the resurrection power gives us the ability to beat the bully. Tell your wife, I think he's talking about you. Just joking. Guys, you got something? We have resurrection power. Tap into it and let it move. Let it flow. In Jesus' name. Father, we stop right now, God, just to worship you and thank you, God, for all that you've done. You've done in our lives. God, we thank you that you spoke truth into our lives, Lord. Help us to reflect on this. Help us.